Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to our 5-part mini series on the foundations of Ayurveda. So this is video 2, and we're going to be speaking all about Ayurvedic psychology. And I love this topic. Ayurvedic psychology is so interesting, and it just gives you such a deep insight into your own mind and the way that you act, the way that you behave, your triggers, and why they come about. So it's a really, really interesting topic. So let's get started. Ayurvedic psychology, it addresses the health and imbalances of the mind. Ayurveda sees the mind, body, and spirit as intimately connected. Thus, every thought that we have will make an impression on our subtle energetic body, on our mind, obviously, and on our physical body. Ayurveda cultivates our awareness, as we mentioned yesterday. It really helps us to just understand ourselves on such a deeper level, and we get to cultivate a really wonderful awareness about ourselves and how we interact with our environment, the people around us. And it gives us a lot of knowledge and clarity to make better choices for our health and just better choices in general, better lifestyle choices. And this is also true for our thought patterns and our beliefs. And this is where Ayurvedic psychology ties in. As I mentioned yesterday, Ayurveda is the sister science of yoga, and yoga is seen as like the spiritual practice with the goal of enlightenment, moksha. And Ayurveda is the science of life, health, and longevity with the goal of living the right way, dharma. Yoga and Ayurveda both come from the same philosophy, which is Sankhya philosophy, which I speak a lot about in the Ayurveda Alchemist program. We go really deep into the philosophy of Ayurveda, and it's such a beautiful thing to learn. And both Ayurveda and yoga, they share a holistic perspective that we are spiritual beings living a human existence, and our body, mind, and consciousness are unified. According to the classical Ayurvedic texts, there are 4 goals of life. And the first one is dharma, living the right way to promote inner and outer health. Living your dharma simply refers to living a truthful existence in accordance with one's nature and acting for the good of all. So whilst we may feel that we have a higher calling and this big dharmic path to walk, and that is very true, our dharma is also played out in our everyday life. So it's just being of service and living in the right way. Your dharma today might be smiling at a stranger that needs that. Your dharma today might be taking care of your sick kid. Your dharma today might be diving deeper into self-study so that you can start to answer the questions you have for yourself about the bigger dharmic path. We are all here for a very special purpose in life, and Ayurveda really recognizes this. And there's a statistic that for you to be born you, who you are right now, is 1 in 400 trillion. So there is no mistake that you are here in this very time and space as a spiritual and human being to live out your Dharma, to be on your Dharmic path. So the next goal or one of the other goals of life is karma. Now, not karma, K-A-R-M-A, it's karma, which is spelled K-M-A. So it's their words get slightly confused often when we first hear of them. But this just means sensory pleasure. And what this this aspect is talking about the fact that our senses are so important. So our senses, whatever we hear, whatever we see, whatever we taste, whatever we touch, again, they infiltrate into our being and they leave a subtle impression on our mind, our body, and energetic body as well. And overindulging in the senses can lead to addiction, imbalances in health, and frustration. So learning that moderation is the key is really important. But also that sensory pleasures are also to be enjoyed. So we have this very beautiful human experience that we can enjoy all of the sensory pleasures, but we don't want to cross into those addictive patterns of behavior when we become too addicted to those pleasures. And we're seeing that these days with like addictions to screens and iPhones. We're getting that dopamine hit because we're like all of our senses are going out there and we're searching out there for this, I guess, a calming effect that the dopamine gives us. And that's leading to addictive behaviors and poor health. So it's really talking about like this goal of life, being able to enjoy these sensory pleasures, but not crossing that line of addiction. And one of the other goals of life is artha, which is material wealth. Wealth can and abundance can be beautiful things if obtained without harm to others or self. Abundance is welcomed as it can be shared with others. So I know a lot of a lot of people in the spiritual realm or the healing realm sometimes feel like they can't earn for that or yearn for that abundance, that financial freedom, that financial independence. But it's actually such a beautiful thing because when abundance is in the hands of the right people, it spreads far and wide and it allows you to have this sense of freedom to do a lot of beautiful things. So we have to change our mind shift around what abundance really is and what wealth is and how we can cultivate a healthy wealth and abundance mindset. And even from the ancient Ayurvedic texts, artha was one of the four goals of life to attain this in our human existence as a spiritual and human being. So I think that's really important to note. And I even struggle with this like at times. And I'm like, you know, there's such this beautiful spiritual, free living, earth soul mama side of me. And then there's this other side where I do love beautiful things. I love luxury, you know, I love my Louis Vuitton handbag. Like, and it can feel like this pull sometimes, like, well, who am I? Or I feel bad if I, you know, want to attract abundance and wealth into my life. But no, according to the Ayurvedic text, like this is all part of having this experience and stepping into your higher self when you can merge these two worlds of yourself together in the right way without harm to self or others. And when we talk about that, we need to be really mindful when we say without harm to self, that's even in our thought patterns. So if we're berating ourselves for not getting that abundance or berating ourselves for maybe having what we perceive as too much wealth, being selfish, anything like that. And then the last goal of life, according to Ayurveda, is moksha, which is enlightenment, liberation, freedom. And this is realizing your true nature and breaking free of the notion that you are identified with the mind and the body as separate entities. Moksha is knowing your true essence at all times, which goes far beyond the concept of mind and body. So So let's dive a little deeper into Ayurvedic psychology versus Western psychology. Western psychology treats the mind as isolated from the body. So it really looks at the mind. It's got diagnosis of mental patterns and behaviors. And Ayurveda looks at the mind body as one and offers a holistic approach to treating mental health, with the goal being to create balance, clarity, and harmony in both mind and body as they're interrelated. The mind becomes a tool we can use on our journey to good health and enlightenment. Both Western and Ayurveda have their place in psychology for sure and can complement each other. So just looking at, you know, even the word psychology, it comes from the Greek term psyche, which means soul, and logo, which means study. So it's soul study. So originally psychology was soul study. And that tells you that back in the ancient times, even in other cultures, psychology was the study of the soul, which incorporates the mind and the body. But unfortunately, it has lost its meaning along the way, and it's become more of a medical science and study of the function and structure of the mind as an isolated concept rather than an integrated philosophy. And that's what I love about Ayurvedic psychology and philosophy. When we really go deep and we merge those two together, we can really see how it all interplays in this really beautiful, beautiful way. So as I mentioned, Ayurveda, on the other hand, it sees the mind, body, spirit complex in a way in which it engages its senses and perceptions on a daily basis, how it responds to its environment and also other influences. So that is the personal choices we make in our day-to-day life, our external environment, karmic reactions, inner influence. There's so many different ways in which our mind, our body, our thought patterns will play out depending on what is going around or happening around us in any given day, but also influences throughout our life and subconscious patterning and belief systems. And especially to Ayurveda, they speak of karmic influence and karmic reactions. Our mental state is directly related to various factors, including the foods that we eat, the people that we hang out with. Like, I'm sure you guys can all resonate with this. Sometimes you go and hang out with someone and they just zap the energy out of you. Like, you just feel so depleted after hanging out with them. And sometimes you can hang out with someone who just has that beautiful, soft, nurturing kapha like nature, and you just feel like so grounded when you're in their presence. And sometimes you can hang out with some of your friends that you just have those deep, meaningful conversations with, and you just feel really soulful and really, really in tune. And I love that. Like, that's what we really cultivate in our Ayurveda Alchemist community, is like being able to really deeply connect into the soul essence and have those deeper conversations, because that helps to cultivate a different mindset, a positive sattvic mindset. Our lifestyle and our activities that we do obviously influence our mind and the way we think, and sleep. You know, if you're not getting enough sleep, then of course it can really impact the way you thought. If there's any new mamas or mums that remember being new mamas, like, you can really resonate with this. And even if you're not a mama, like, you, I'm sure with work and overcommitting and overwhelm, you can really resonate those times where you've had no sleep. Or maybe, you know, back in your day, you're a party goer and the next few days were just like, yeah, you didn't feel like yourself. And that's because of the activities that we do affects the way that our mind perceives things. And the other thing that we really need to understand is everyone's situation can be perceived through different eyes, even the same situation. So if we're in the exact same scenario, but my eyes and my senses are engaging in it separately from somebody else, it will also affect our mental capacity at a different rate and in a different way. Someone might have a positive experience from that, and someone may have a negative experience from that. And that is also really important when we break this down in Ayurvedic psychology. And we also need to understand that we are not just the mind. We are the essence of all that is. And so we want to act, live, and observe from a place of non-judgment, love, and compassion. So sometimes we can get so caught up in our thoughts and we think, oh, I'm so stupid, or like I'm such a cranky mom, or I'm such a terrible judgmental person. But they are just some thoughts or emotions that are going around in our mind. We are not that state. We are not that person. And we need to be able to dissociate from that and say, like, look, what's happening here? Why is the mind reacting in that way? Ayurvedic psychology, it helps you to create a deep-seated belief system that integrates your mind and body, and this allows you to rewire the subconscious mind to allow expansive and supportive beliefs that will excel you forward, taking the right actions with full confidence and an empowered mindset so that you can step into your higher self. Whether it is with healing from disease or up-leveling your life, wealth, or your business, or achieving your dreams, you need to change your beliefs so that they align with how you want to show up in your life. So Ayurveda really helps you cultivate this a different mindset, and it's part of my higher self methodology that I go through with my clients and that I teach in my Ayurveda Alchemist program. My second pillar is empowering belief shifts through Ayurvedic psychology. And this is because it changes the way that you perceive things and it unlocks those subconscious beliefs so you can change them into a more empowered way of living and an empowered way of seeing things and believing so that you can step into your higher self. Standard Western limiting belief work, it misses the full understanding of the brain and the mind, and obviously the association with the body and the spirit and the karmic reactions. The Ayurvedic perspective is that the mind has a powerful influence over our health. Okay, so it has a really powerful influence over our health. And I have seen this firsthand with my clients when we've gone through the Ayurvedic empowering belief shift session, their whole understanding of their condition and their health changes, and the way they see it and the trajectory of their healing amplifies. It's just amazing to be part of and amazing to watch. From the Ayurvedic perspective, there are four parts to the mind. So we don't just see the mind as somewhere in the brain, right? From an Ayurvedic perspective, there are different levels, there are different aspects that we need and that all interact with each other. And the first one is the buddhi mind. And this is the intellect. This is how our mind processes the data received. It's that higher intellect. And then we talk of the manas, which is the memory. And this is a memory of events, thoughts, and actions. And it includes our cellular memory. And our manas can help create some of those belief patterns from conditioning thoughts that we have adopted throughout our lifespan. And then we have the ahamkara, which is the sense of identity. This is our ego mind. And often our ego gets like a bad rep, but we really need the ahamkara. We really need the ego mind to protect us in today's, well, as a human. So it doesn't even matter if it's today or back in the day, just as a human, we need this ahamkara. It's also the aspects of our personality. It's also part of what makes us really unique. I mean, it all is, but the ahamkara, when seen in this like positive light, and when you have this sattvic mind set and empowered belief set, then the ahamkara can really help you on the journey. But if you allow more tamas, which is this inertia and dullness, to enter your mind, and remember I said that any food, any environmental changes or people you hang out with, your work, can affect our mind. So it can make us have more of tamasic thoughts, which is that dullness, that inertia. And this will affect the ahamkara, the sense of ego. And this is where we can get into these looped negative thought patterns as well. The ahamkara is not serving us in this way. And then we also talk of the chitta, which is the cosmic intelligence. And this is the mind without memory. It is pure intelligence. And this might all, if it's new to you, it might all sound like, whoa, there's so much going on in there. And there is, which is beautiful. We really are this essence of human spiritual being and all that is. And we definitely dive so much deeper into this in the Ayurveda Alchemist program. So don't feel, if you're not grasping the concepts now, that it is beyond your understanding, because once you grasp it, it can really change the way that you think and the way that you behave as well. And as I mentioned before, I use the word sattva and I use the word tamas. And so I want to introduce you to these concepts as well. Ayurveda also looks at the three qualities of the mind and where an imbalance may occur, causing mental or emotional changes. So when we speak of sattva, sattvic mind, this means purity, it's harmony, it's like the insight, it's the wisdom, it's the lightness. So we can also speak of living in a more of a sattvic way. We can eat sattvic food, healthy, light, pure. So this is part of the evolution that we are trying to achieve, is to reach more sattva in our mental state. The other part of the mind is rajas, and that is the movement, the passion, the ability to act, our desires. And so we do need raja. We actually need all three. Like, Ayurveda doesn't look at things as good or bad. They are just what they are, and we actually have all three of these mahagunas within us, and we need to cultivate them all at different times. But with rajas, this is what helps us stay on track with our goals. This is what's helping me create all this content for you guys to come and teach. It's my passion. It's my desire to have this act of service and to share. It's that that intellect, that sharpness of the mind. And it really relates to that processing of that pitta dosha as well. And we'll be learning about the doshas later in this 5-part mini series as well. And then tamas is the other aspect of the mind, which I've said is inertia, it's heaviness, it's sleepiness, it's dullness. It can get in the way of being depressive thoughts, but tamas is also what we need to be able to get into a sleep pattern as well. It's that heaviness, it's that sleepiness, it's that drowsiness. So sattva, rajas, and tamas all have a part to play in our mental prakriti. Ayurveda recognizes that we are all born with a unique mental constitution, and this will play out in our lives. It will play out in the way that we respond and react to things and how we perceive and feel. This is crucial for making the belief shifts necessary to create a more significant impact in your life and the lives of others. So when you can really understand your mental prakriti, which I do through a process of different questions, and I mean, you can understand it when you learn more about Ayurvedic psychology and work out your prakriti, being, are you in more of a sattvic state of mind or a rajas state of mind or a tamas state of mind? But when you can really start to recognize that, you can shift. Right? Because awareness is key. When you know these things, you can change these things. So a little bit more on the three mahagunas. So the mahagunas means the three great qualities. So gunas means qualities. And when we speak more on the elements and the doshas, we'll be talking about other qualities or other gunas as well that support those. So the mahagunas, they play a vital role in Ayurvedic psychology and understanding our own mental state. Each of these qualities will show itself in us at different stages in our lives. Thus, understanding our mental constitution will allow us to recognize what course of action we need to take to bring us into more of a sattvic state, or maybe you need to be in more of a rajasic state. In a sattvic state of mind, you will feel bliss, you will feel joy, you will feel love, you will feel contentment. We say the word santosha. Santosha is the Sanskrit word for contentment. And that's all part of a sattvic state of being. Whereas in a rajas state of mind, you will feel motivated. You will have that drive to aspire for more. It's like our goal center. It's our passion. It's our enthusiasm for life. And we need that in our working life. We need that to chase our dreams. We need that to go on big adventures or plan beautiful trips around the world. That Rajas mind can come in. And then in a tamasic state, you will feel heavy, lethargic, down. You can feel really fearful. You can also feel anxious. It's not always a nice place to be. And so we need to recognize when we're in this state of mind that it's, you know, we need to shift this. And so how do we change these states of mind? It's by adding or removing the opposite qualities. So Ayurveda has a simple fundamental rule of like increases like and opposites balance out each other. So if you take away anything from this session, just remember like increases like and opposites balance out each other. So you want to add more of what you want and less of what you don't want, okay? So if you want more of a sattvic mind, how can you cultivate more sattva in your life? I know for me, when I start feeling disconnected to my spiritual self, when I start to let my practices go, my sattvic mind isn't as optimal as it could be. When I'm getting too caught up in my business, my Rajas mind is starting to burn too high, and it can even lead to tamas. So if we're in those states, then we need to bring in more balance. More, maybe it's for you, it's more meditation. Maybe it's walking in nature, getting out in the elements. If you need to up level into more of a Rajasic mind, then maybe it's like adding more passion. Like, have you forgot to have fun? What can you do to go and find that inspiration, that drive? Is it maybe going to an ecstatic dance, or is it going and just hanging and having a really beautiful conversation with your friends on that deep soul level? Is it like mine? I think I may have told you guys this before, but I love going on water slides. And I know when I'm feeling in a real tamasic sort of down sort of place, I'm like, hey kids, let's get to it wild. Like, I need to get on water slide. I need to feel that fun and that vibrancy. And then obviously with tamas, if you add more toxicity, if you add more dramas and delusions, if you're not hanging out with the right people, if you're not enjoying the work you're doing, if you're not feeling on purpose, if you're not filled with desire and passion, then you are going to create more of a tamas qualities in your mind. And all of these qualities, they can be found in the actions that we do, the thoughts that we have, the environments we're in, and even, as I mentioned, the foods we eat. So if you're in a really low, dark, tamasic mind, and then you go and eat really crappy food that's really heavy and just, yeah, not easy to process and not good for you, you're not going to feel light and enlightened. You're not going to shift that energetic balance in the mind and the body, right? So we've got to think of it in a really holistic aspect. And again, like my signature methodology, the higher self methodology, which I take my women's health clients through and teach the Ayurveda Alchemist students, like my first pillar is optimizing holistic health. And holistic health is the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual aspects. And so how can we shift all of those areas to up level our state of mind? And the three Mahagunas, as you can see, they're used to describe the state of your mind and emotion. And we often speak of the Mahagunas in Ayurvedic psychology. So they're often seen in this way, but they're not just limited to the mind. So when we go deep into Ayurvedic philosophy, and we speak about the beginning of Purusha and Prakriti, the consciousness and the physical manifest of everything, how these Mahagunas come about, we start to understand that they're present in all things, in all manifest things in the universe, right? And so this might be getting a little bit deeper, but just so that you get a good understanding of the Mahagunas, they can be seen in anything in nature. So the point of this is also to realize is that they're not seen as bad or good. They all have a purpose, because I think in our Western mind, we see things often as very black and white. Tamas being bad because of inertia, sattva being the best because it's light and harmony. But we can't be up in sattva all of the time because we have to get things done, okay? So, for example, if we're looking at these qualities in natural environmental aspects, we can look at a log, and a log is beautiful, it's natural, but at the same time, it's tamasic in nature because of its inactivity and its stability, right? But we could also describe a depressed emotional state as tamasic due to dull emotions of inertia. Just like stale, rotten food is, or heavy food is tamasic in nature. And then when we're looking at rajas, we could say that we have a rajasic mind, a sharp intellect, it's processing, but this is also the quality of fire. And we're going to learn more about this in the element lecture that we're doing tomorrow. So a fire can be seen as rajasic due to its mobility, its activity, and its energy. And that is also the type of mind state that we can be in when we're in a rajasic state of mind, a very mobile, a very active, a very energetic mind. You can describe someone who's really driven and successful and passionate to have a very rajasic type of nature. And then when we look at foods, things that are like spicy and salty, they're very rajasic in nature as well. And then as we've spoke about, a sattvic life is one of balance. It's eating sattvic foods that are fresh and promote good health and clarity of mind. They're easy to digest, engaging in sattvic thoughts and emotions such as happiness and joy is being in a sattvic state. So even if you are like having a lot of fun, you know, you can be weaving from this fun rajasic state into this sort of like moments of sattva, of bliss, when you're just really present. And I think sattva, it really can really be recognized when we're really present with something. And that's why you get a sattvic state through meditation. Even if you're someone who loves to do walking meditations, you're out in nature, you're just so present with who you are and where you are. That is sattva. And we have steered so far away from that way of being for so long, and that is what's causing a lot of dis-ease in the mind and dis-ease in the body. So we need to remember that any activity we do or any place we work in, any food we eat, anyone we hang out with can help alter our emotional and mental response. And then the right balance of the three mahagunas, because remember I've said that they're neither bad or good and we need them for different aspects in our lives, but the right balance between the three gunas is called pure sattva, meaning balance. Ayurveda philosophy says that the gunas, so the qualities, the three mahagunas, are the forces that bind us. Everything in life has consciousness at its core. Everything in life has the three energies of prakriti, which is sattva, tamas, and rajas in varying degrees. So if it's sounding a little bit confusing right now, or if you're new to this, like I said, we go into great depths on Ayurvedic philosophy and psychology in the Ayurveda Alchemist Certification Program. But for now, just ruminate on the fact that these three qualities exist in all life that has manifest, and just start to recognize when these three mahagunas are playing out in your life. And if you can start to adopt the fundamental rule of like increases like and opposites can balance or decrease each other. So how are you going to be able to address your mental prakriti at any given time to maybe add more sattva or to help bring you out of the illusion of the darkness that you're in? And we go a lot deeper into this again, into limiting belief shifts and how we can do this through Ayurvedic psychology, which is a really beautiful thing. So if you are interested in going a lot deeper into these type of teachings for your own health, for yourself, or for your clients, then please, please reach out, because we really embody these practices and we go really in depth with all of the beautiful psychology and philosophy teachings. And it can't all be taught in a short session, but this is a really beautiful overview so you can understand what Ayurvedic psychology is about. So thank you so much. Tomorrow we will be talking about the five elements, the Panchamahabhutas, and the five elements is then what creates our doshas. So it's really important to understand, engage the elements before we can speak of the doshas. And a lot of people, as I mentioned, I think in the first video, you get introduced to Ayurveda because maybe you've done a dosha quiz. It's usually through the doshas or it's through Ayurvedic nutrition. But as you can see, it's so much more than that. It really is a holistic health science. So if you are interested in learning more, we have the five element class tomorrow, and then we go into the doshas. And then from there, we go into Ayurvedic lifestyle medicine through Dinacharya and Ayurvedic nutrition. If you miss the intro and jump straight to the episode, don't forget that my Ayurveda Alchemist program is open for enrollment via application. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach and will help you up-level your health and wellness business. You'll gain access to the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and graduate with a knowledge of how to incorporate this timeless wisdom and holistic framework into your business so that you can create greater impact and boldly step into the high-level practitioner you know you can be. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the life of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.